Welcome to In the House Sports with Jay.
And Jay, hello from rainy Calgary. Happy Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you, Dad, and to all the fathers and dads and grandparents, fathers out there.
Jacob and I just came home from playing golf. We managed to get 6 holes of golf in before some thunder, lightning, and a steady rainfall. The good news is that Jacob and I both parred the 6th hole. So, a good way to end.
It's a great way to end. And we did pretty well considering the wind was blowing right at us at that hole. It was blowing right at us, thus lengthening the hole. It was a short, there's not a long hole, I was playing a tee back from Dad, about 350 to 370 yard hole, but dogleg right though, put it in the fairway, hit good shots onto the green. We both had solid birdie. Well, I don't know. I think we both let our birdie putt short, but made the par putts and then got off before the horn went. That's how our final hole of the day went. And the final NBA game that just took place, the Denver Nuggets winning in 5 games and winning the NBA Finals. My hot take was correct. I said they would win in 4 or 5 games. They won in 5 games. Miami did not have enough for Nikola Jokic, the finals MVP, and the star point guard, Jamal Murray. But there were some stars on that team. Aaron Gordon, he had a solid series. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he had a good series. And Michael Porter Jr., all notching their first NBA championships. And Jamal Murray with his becoming, sorry, Jamal Murray becomes the 9th Canadian to win an NBA championship and comes the year after Andrew Wiggins did it. So who's going to be the next Canadian? Is it going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
That's the first name that popped into my mind. Go Shai. Or is it going to be Murray once again? I think maybe Shai's a year or two away, but congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Miami, I think, ran out of gas. I'm surprised Miami went that far. I mean, to the championship, but they did, and they deserved it. So congratulations to Miami also. A big congratulations to Nikola Jokic. Now he was the lowest draft player to ever win NBA Finals. He was drafted
Finals MVP.
He was drafted 41st in the 2014 NBA draft, and he became MVP. So he's the lowest draft player to ever win Finals MVP. The Denver Nuggets went 46 years without winning a championship. They were the longest team to go without ever winning. 46 years, almost my lifetime. Cleveland Cavaliers, they went 45 years before winning, and the Detroit Pistons went 40 years. So it was a long time coming for Denver. Could they repeat? Absolutely, they could repeat. Will they? Time will tell. Again, just going back to Nikola, but he is the first player in NBA to lead in these 3 categories: points, rebounds, and assists.
In what?
In the playoffs. And so he had 600 points, 269 rebounds, and 190 assists. 190 assists. Just huge numbers. Congratulations to him. It was funny after watching the game, his older brothers, also big size giant guys, hoisting up the coach of the Denver Nuggets, Mr. Malone, and they were fun to watch. So there'll be some serious partying going on in Croatia. Serbia. And what a week for Serbia, because I mean, who was the biggest name to stand out? Jacob, these are the names that I got in mind. We had Novak Djokovic winning the French Open. We just spoke about Jokic, the Denver Nuggets, and the Toronto Raptors hiring a Serbian coach, Darko. You got to like the name. We spoke about him briefly last week. Darko Rajakovic. Big week for Serbia. Serbia is a big a soccer country, but they've done well in tennis and basketball. And there's 2 other names I looked up that come to my mind as far as Serbia goes, before you answer that question, Jacob. But Monica Seles, I didn't know she was born in Serbia. And another name, some of our longtime listeners, Roberto would know this name. Jacob, you know this name. Vlade Divac of the Los Angeles Lakers, and then president of operations for the Sacramento Kings. But Jacob, Novak Djokovic, Jokic, and Darko, we're going with nicknames here. Big week for Serbia.
Yes, big week. I'd say they're the one that got the most attention. Well, Djokovic did become the all-time winner, but Jokic, I think that Djokovic, it's a pretty big achievement. He probably just gets the edge over Jokic. Of course, the NBA, you got to lead your team.
Probably depends on what part of the world you live in, too.
I'm saying this from I'm in North America. I'm more excited about Jokic, but I'm saying from a non-biased perspective, I think that you're hearing these noises in the background. Wrigley, our dog's here. He's
our statistician.
And currently he's lying on the bed on the bed behind us on his back.
In the house.
So he's really enjoying this podcast.
Jay, you think Novak?
Yeah, Novak is bigger achievement. He's won, I think, what, 23 or 24?
23.
23 Grand Slams. This gets the all-time record. It's just amazing to see that he's continuing to do well. Jokic, it just beats Jokic. Jokic leading the Nuggets. Thinking of another team, the Vegas Golden Knights, they win. And they defeat the Florida Panthers. I think they won in five games too.
Yep.
They won in five games. First, I think their owner said he wanted to win a Stanley Cup in the first six seasons. They made the finals in the first year, and now they won the NBA or they won the Stanley Cup in the sixth year. So it's exciting. Good for Vegas. I thought Florida was going to win the series.
I think that the Florida Panthers also ran out of gas, similar to the Miami Heat. Don't you think?
Yeah,
and they were hurt. They were hurt. I mean, Kachuk, broken sternum. They several players were injured. I mean, that's playoff hockey for the NHL.
That is playoff hockey. You got it. But it is exciting to see. They have a lot of good pieces. The Vegas Golden Knights do it. With Eichel and Carlson and Marchessault and Petrangelo, all these great pieces that just led them to this first Stanley Cup title. It's very exciting.
Jacob, this is just an FYI here, but you know, we brought up the Nuggets is most we were talking about the Denver Nuggets, but Stan, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, Kroenke, but owner of the Los Angeles Rams, recent Super Bowl champions. By the way, his first name is Enos, E-N-O-S, but he goes by Stan, an American billionaire. Jacob, he is the owner of, at least the primary owner of Arsenal Soccer, the Los Angeles Rams of the NFL, Denver Nuggets of the NBA, recent Colorado Avalanche of the NHL. He's also owner of the Colorado Rapids of the Major League Soccer. He's owner of a lacrosse team as well, and a few other lesser league teams as well. Pretty rich guy and pretty successful as far as his teams go.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about how he is able to. I'm looking right now on a quick look on a little search, and he owns other teams too. It says he owns the Arsenal women's team. He owns all these other Colorado lacrosse team. He owns this esports team. I'm thinking that is a lot of teams he owns, and it looks like he is married to Ann Walton, who is I think her father started in Walmart, so that's a lot of money between those two powerful people. But yes,
some highly successful Colorado Avalanche, Denver Nuggets most recently, and of course Los Angeles Rams. So how's Arsenal doing in soccer?
It's his real estate that got him. How's Arsenal doing? Honestly, they didn't win the Premier League. I know Manchester City won, but Arsenal is a good team every single year. But it's he owns a lot of teams. He owns a Colorado soccer team. I guess he's from. Says he's from Columbia, Missouri. So anyway,
before we go on, I'm sorry to interrupt, but we just want to say that Jokic was drafted in 2014. Two other famous players were drafted in 2014. Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers and Eichel of the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
Do you know what team he was drafted by?
Eichel?
Yeah.
Buffalo?
Correct.
Yeah, he just moved over to Vegas a year ago. The guy never even made the playoffs, I think, until this year. But, you know, there was big Eichel, McDavid. Who's the better player when they're both drafted? 2014, McDavid's got all the attention. Who's won the first Stanley Cup between them? Mr. Eichel. So congratulations to Eichel. McDavid. Oh, they had a little accent thrown in there. McDavid, I wonder if he's a little bit jealous that the number two player taken in the 2014, won the Stanley Cup before he did.
Yeah, he probably isn't happy that he didn't win, and he wants to win. We jump over to golf. This week is the U.S. Open, and in about 11 minutes time from now, Ricky Fowler and Wyndham Clark are in the final group teeing off from Los Angeles Country Club, the North Course, hosting the U.S. Open for the first time. This week, Ricky Fowler and Xander Schauffele started off the tournament by shooting a U.S. Open record 62 in the first round, minus 8 on the par 70 course. We were talking last week about how the course is 7,400 yards, a par 70. And what a way to start the tournament. And I think there's been 162 before. Brandon Gray shot it in the Open Championship about 5 or 6 or 7 years back, I believe. But it's just shocking. Like, I was shocked because when you think of the US Open, you think of really high scores, like scores that are, I love the US Opens that are close to even par. For example, Brooks Koepka won a few years back at like plus one. I think he won it either, I think it was either Shinnecock or Erin Hills. I'm not remember, one of the hills. And I think Justin Rose, 10 years ago when he beat Phil Mickelson, he won, you know, even par, like even par winning the tournament. It's cool to see. I remember last year was Matthew Fitzpatrick. He won, I think, 5-6 under. Anyway, they are at 10 under now. And they are at 10 under as they start their final round. Both of them looking for their first major. And Ricky Fowler, what a resurgence in his season. And it's not like, oh, wow, like Ricky Fowler's had one good tournament. No, Ricky Fowler has been doing pretty darn good going into the U.S. Open. And if we take a look at his previous results, right now he's ranked 45th in the world. But he was ranked, I think, earlier, like he got all the way up to 170 something. He just was really struggling. But this year in 2023, he's only missed one cut at the PGA Championship, pretty big cut to miss, but otherwise he's been doing really well. I remember, earlier than the PGA Tour season, he almost won the Zozo Championship in Japan. I think that was ultimately won by Keegan Bradley, but, he's been trending in the right direction. His past, starts since the, I don't think he played in the Masters, but since the Dell Technologies match play, he got out of his group. He went T17, T10, T15, T14, missed cut, T16, 9. So like Ricky Fowler is trending in the right direction, finishing, not just making the cut, but finishing high up. Meanwhile, he's got Wyndham Clark, who notched his first victory at one of the designated events, which is one of the PGA Tour's premier events. And he, in his last three starts in the Memorial T12, missed the cut at the PGA like Ricky, and then won the Wells Fargo finishing first. A few other top 10s this season. But Wyndham Clark, he's there at minus 10, but you can't count out the guys in the second final in the second group. Rory McIlroy looking for, which has probably been said on the television coverage 100 times, looking for his first major since 2014. And then Scottie Scheffler right there at minus 7. He'll be off with Rory. Meanwhile, in the group right before, you got Harris English and Dustin Johnson, both at minus, Harris English at minus 6, Dustin Johnson at minus 5. Dustin Johnson made a quadruple bogey in his second round, still at minus 5. But what have you made so far of the tournament? What's been grabbing your eye about this course and just the tournament?
This is the first time they've had the U.S. Open in this Los Angeles
Country Club.
They've had other PGA tournaments at this
Country Club? No, they've never had I think Los Angeles Country Club, if I'm correct, they hosted this tournament that they call the Walker Cup, which is like an amateur Ryder Cup event.
What I've noticed is the rough. The rough is very, very thick grass, lots of sand. The grass, if you're in the deep, deep rough, it's difficult to get out. I think we've seen two players whiff, where they actually swung and not contacted the ball. That was, I can't recall the players. That was the other day.
Rory did that in his first round, whiffed, and then Harris English did that, I think, yesterday.
That's right. I mean, so these are PGA players whiffing. They're off. You and I spoke about how there's not that much water on the golf course, if any. But the guys that are first just to me look so calm, cool, and collective. Wyndham and
Ricky
and Ricky. Those guys look calm, cool, collective. Scheffler just finished yesterday. What was his scorecard yesterday? 2 followed by a 3.
So Scotty Scheffler ended his third round yesterday with, yes, a full-out eagle on the par 4, 500. Well, the standard yard is 515 yards. Yes, 515 yards. And then, it's interesting because I'm looking right now on this, and the yardage just, I think it does change every round. Yesterday, I think it did play a little bit shorter. Still 7,300, not that short. And then he made a nice birdie on the difficult 18 hole.
So he was, imagine on your scorecard on a par, what were they, Jacob, par 4, taking a total of 5 on...
About 1,000 yards.
So 5 on a... That's an interesting way of looking at it. To getting a 5 on a... imagine it's a 1,000-yard hole and taking a 5. I mean, that's Scotty Scheffler for you. He was... I don't know what you call it when you're running into your caddy and they're celebrating, chest pumping or whatever you call that. But he was super happy about that. And absolutely, he's only 3 strokes back. Rory McIlroy right there. Last week's runner-up at the Canadian Open, Tommy Fleetwood today, -7 through 16. Well, he's having a great fourth round.
He's carrying that momentum in. That could be a good round. There's a few good rounds today. That is the low round of the day.
But... we will see that again. It's hard to believe that we're almost 2/3 through the day here, and they haven't even teed off. So they will be absolutely cutting into the Father's Day dinner. I know you want to keep talking about this. I just want to say congratulations to Nick Taylor with the 72-foot putt to beat Tommy Fleetwood last week. The first Canadian to win this tournament. Everybody's saying it since
this was at the RBC Canadian Open.
Everybody's saying it's the first. The announcers are saying the first winner to win, Canadian winner since Pat Fletcher, 1954. Apparently, Pat Fletcher is actually born in England, so I'm not sure why they would say him. Maybe he became...
He's like a kid. He probably played Steve Nash. Steve Nash was born in South Africa. Do you know that?
No, I did not know that. But nonetheless, Carl Keffer, K-E-F-F-E-R, won the Canadian Open 1909 and 1914. So this goes back as far as I'm concerned. As far as Canadian born goes, over 100 years. So a big congratulations to Nick Taylor. He did not fare so well this week, unfortunately for him. I do want to say that Mike Weir, remember this tournament, Jacob, you're pretty young, but 2004, lost to Vijay Singh. That may have been extra holes too. But I think Vijay Singh and Mike Weir are actually really good friends back there. Maybe they remain good friends. But I do remember Vijay Singh. He felt bad for winning. I'm not saying he was trying to lose, but he would have been okay with Mike Weir winning. And anyhow, that was 2004. Mike Weir was the last Canadian to seriously have a chance to win this tournament. But congratulations to Nick Taylor. But Jacob, yes, back to this week's tournament. So who do you like, Jacob, that's maybe not the first 4 or 5 guys, but who's maybe 7 or 8 strokes back?
7, 8 strokes back that could win the tournament?
That's right.
Well, they both teed off.
All right. So who do you like?
Who
do you like? What about your man, Tom Kim?
I don't know if anybody's
like Tom Kim.
I don't know if any of these guys. I think it's, you got to
So come. You think the winner is right there?
The winner is probably one of the guys that I said. Xander Schauffele is also at 5 under.
Dustin Johnson?
I hope not. I don't love Dustin Johnson. Wrigley, what are you doing in the background? So that's distracting, honestly. I got completely off topic. Anyway,
Dustin Johnson.
I don't know.
Married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter. Go ahead.
I don't know. He's won a U.S. Open. He lost that U.S. Open to Jordan Spieth in 2015. But I do think that it's going to be exciting to see what he'll be able to do. But again, he's 5 strokes back. He got some premier players. You got Wyndham Clark, Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler saying this is the best he's felt in his career. Wyndham Clark is all of a sudden this new name that just looks super good through 3 rounds. And then you got world number 3 and number 1, McIlroy and Scheffler. And then another top 10 in Xander Schauffele and then Dustin Johnson. I think you gotta go. I don't know. It's gonna be interesting. It's crazy how late they tee off, especially being on the West Coast. And I'm excited to see. We got some pretty much breaking news out of an hour ago. Bradley Beal traded. I'm going to come back to this after. I remembered I had something I wanted to share about the course.
Okay.
Bradley Beal is now a member of the Phoenix Suns, the NBA, with crazy trades, it seeming every month. He joins Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And what do the Phoenix Suns give up? They give up Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, some future second round picks, yeah. And also
Bradley Beal. You know, he waived his no trade clause to be traded over there.
The only player I read with a no trade clause in the NBA.
He was?
I think so. And then he waives it. Like, what's with that?
I think it was time for new scenery for Washington to get rid of him. I think that he, 30 years old, he's been injury prone big time. And I think his better days are behind him. Again, I don't see the chemistry working with the big three in Phoenix. I think that they were better without, I think their chances, look, they almost did it 2 years ago without Durant. Now they got Beal. Are they getting closer to a championship or further away, Jacob? Because 2 years ago, they were almost to the finish line. And I don't know about the chemistry. They're going to have a lot of talent. And again, a very good team. And that kind of, that's kind of like the Boston Celtics. Very good talent. Not sure how they are team-wise. You can say that about a lot of teams. But I see Phoenix Suns not winning a championship. Too many great players. Who's going to get the ball?
Well, I think...
Who's going to get the ball, Jacob?
I think potentially it's going to be an interesting situation because you look at it and... You look at how well Booker and Durant did, like, scoring wise. Like, they had this one, like, they, like, I think they were the highest scoring duo in, like, NBA history over a series. So you add another really good scorer in Bradley Beal into this team. And Bradley Beal last year averaged 23 points per game. He did play, I think you did mention that he was injured.
Lots.
I'm trying to think how many games he played last year. He played only 50 games. But when you got these other options and you have, you know, Kevin Durant, it's going to be a very interesting situation. They're going to do, I think, really well. Like, they, with that offense, I'm looking at the other guys who are on that team. You know, you got DeAndre Ayton. Like, he's a solid center. He could pick up maybe, he's going to be, of course, his scoring could go down. Okay. Josh Okogie is an excellent rising player. And then you got Cameron Payne, who is a backup point guard, Terrence Ross coming off the bench, Bismack Biyombo. Like, this looks like, and they're going to make some other.
Yeah, who's going to get the ball when there's 30 seconds left and they're down by two? Who's getting the ball? Who's getting it?
I don't know, but exactly. They could have a lot of options.
Like, deep down.
And decoys.
Is Devin Booker really happy to get another A player on the team? Like, he wants the ball. Oh, do I have to... Like, the question is, Devin Booker, am I supposed to take this shot? Or am I supposed to give it to Durant? Or we got this guy, Bradley Beal. I think it's just too much talent. The chemistry is not going to be there.
Plus, they have TJ Warren. I'm just looking at that. He was so good in the bubble.
I think it's going to be a good trade for Washington. I think, is going to go up. Maybe Chris Paul's got another year left, and maybe not.
Well, Chris Paul is one of the oldest players in the NBA. I think Phoenix, it's such a good trade. Again, NBA, like, the defense would, like, I don't know how the defense is going to be. I don't know how good of defensively Booker and Beal are. I think Kevin Durant's I think he's a decent defensive player. But this is going to be a team that you got to watch. DeAndre Ayton, again, a top center. Beal is these guys are some top players. Kevin Durant, yes, he is not as good as he was in Golden State or Oklahoma City, but Kevin Durant, and this is going to be a good team. And I think that this was a good trade. And you mentioned, okay, Booker, does he want this trade? These guys, Booker's been in the NBA for solid 8-7 years now. These guys want championships. They've got the money. They've proved they could score. They want the championships. And this is going to be a great opportunity. I think, like, Denver is probably like, we got a really good, like, they got three solid. This is a solid big three. Like, I look at a strong scoring big three. Yes, it's going to be really difficult to see who's going to get the ball, but it just creates more options, just like it did in Golden State. It's just more options, more, you know, these guys, the three of them don't have to play all at once at the same time. Like, they don't have to.
Well, you know, big trade, and you got the NBA draft on Thursday, which we'll talk about. Well, we can reflect back on this trade in some months' time from now.
But Chris Paul, he's 38 years old. He's 38. He is, I think he's about half a year younger than LeBron James. He's one of the oldest players in the league. And yeah, Chris Paul can go and do can go and do like really great things in terms of passing the ball. And I think he's going to be with Kristaps Porzingis and Kyle Kuzma. But it's not, it's, he's not, I don't know, like, and there could be good second round draft pick coming and they're looking for the future and there's going to be pick swaps and all that. But this is Chris Paul's potential final stop. You know, he's going to Washington. This surprisingly is this the first time he's been on an Eastern Conference team. Right? This is his sixth team already.
Maybe there's more trades to come. Maybe it's maybe this is just a stopover. Maybe this is part of another package that Washington. I've heard that Washington and the Toronto Raptors are looking to move up into the top three of the NBA draft Thursday. So maybe there's this is the start of some lots more action going on before the draft and or during the draft. I just want to talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. We can circle back to this, but the Toronto Blue Jays, they are struggling big time. Their offense, their everything offensively and pitching has been lousy. Vladimir Guerrero today, he's 0-3. They're losing 11-7 to the Texas Rangers. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Jacob, we spoke of this, but to our listeners, again, this is Indell Sports with JJ, but to our listeners out there, Vladimir Guerrero, I do not know when he last hit a home run. It's been a long time. And he has not hit a home run at home this year. He's got 9 home runs and has not hit one in Toronto yet. I mean, it's just for a guy that's with that star power and name, he's just really floundering and really hurting his team. And I'm not sure what's wrong with him. He can't hit home runs. Danny Jansen, who's played in, I think, about 30 less games, and he just came back from injury, and he's like platooning at catcher, has the same number of home runs. Danny Jansen, I'm going to say this again, Danny Jansen, the same number of home runs as Vladimir Guerrero. It's hard to believe. Hopefully they can turn it around. I just want to throw out this other Major League Baseball team. We've talked about low payroll teams. I love when I see low payroll teams having success. The Cincinnati Reds, yes, the Red Machine have turned things around finally this year. They're playing, they're in a weak division. They're one game over 500, and they are starting to win. I think they've won 5 in a row. Congratulations to them. But when you look at the Major League Baseball, when you look at the National League Central, you've got Cincinnati, who's half game out. Pittsburgh, another payroll team low, 2.5 games out. And I think Cincinnati actually pulled off the win today. They've won 8 games in a row. So the Cincinnati Reds, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Florida Marlins, another, we've talked about Miami lately, they've won 4 games in a row, and they are only 5 games back of the Atlanta Braves, and they're 10 games over 500. So congratulations to those baseball teams. And just Milos Raonic is back in baseball, Jacob, after 2 years.
Back in tennis.
What did I say?
Baseball.
Well, didn't you know he's platoon. He's the next Bo Jackson, and he is playing back. He's back playing tennis. We've wondered what happened to him. Thought he did. Did he retire? Did he not? He's had multiple injuries, and he's back. He won his first match, and he lost in his second match. So good for Canada having him back. Hopefully he's got some gas left in the tank, but I couldn't help but mention Milos Raonic.
Okay. We are going to take a short break and then come back. We got a couple other things I want to bring up really quickly. We're going to have a quick break, and then after the break, we're going to talk about Ja Morant. They released his suspension, the games, and then also 10 years ago, something happened in the sports world. Keep listening to J&J. We'll be back in just a sec. Hello and welcome back to In the House Sports with J&J. I think this is the first time we've ever taken a break live, an intended break. I remember one time like the internet went out, one of our first podcasts. By the way, it is Sunday, June 18th, our episode 71. And 10 years ago, Ray Allen shot the shot of his life. This was after, I think this was the game that Kawhi Leonard had a chance to put the San Antonio Spurs up by 4 with like 7 or 10 seconds to go. He missed it. LeBron James took a 3. Chris Bosh got the rebound. Back to Allen in the corner, and he made a 3. They sent this game to Game 7 where Miami would come back and beat the San Antonio Spurs and get their second consecutive NBA championship and their last NBA championship as a franchise. Do you remember this series at all? This was, I can't believe this was 10 years ago today.
I do remember the actual Ray Allen shot. I can't recall which game it was in or the significance of it that they went on to win.
Yeah, game six.
But it was game six, and it was from the baseline three-pointer, and was it a rebound, and they chucked it out to him?
So, like, it was a shot. Look, Chris Bosh got the rebound. He was in the post. Allen got the ball and took a nice step-back fadeaway three. And this was the shot of his life. This is maybe one of the greatest three-pointers in NBA history.
Very interesting that you're bringing this up. Are you a big Miami fan, or where does this come from?
I used to be. Back when LeBron James went, I don't know if it was like a bandwagon thing, or I was just like, LeBron's going. And I like Chris Bosh when he was on the Raptors. So he went, I was like, I'm going to cheer for this team. And then 10 years later, wow. Yeah. I can't believe it's been 10 years. I was in grade six, and now I've been 4 years removed from high school, and I've completed 3 years in university. One thing we need to discuss, we need to discuss this because we were talking about this before, is Ja Morant. They released his suspension, how long it's going to be, 25 games. What do you think? Like, I know we're not NBA insiders, and we don't know how the suspensions are cultivated and how many games. But what do you think?
I think I predicted it was going to be 20, and it was, I think I said 20 or I say 30, so it was 25. I don't know. I think that it's, when you listen to the radio, there's both sides. A lot of people think it's the appropriate number. There's other people that say it should be way higher, 50 or the whole season. You'll tell me what you think. But I thought 25 was appropriate. I know it's the second time going through this charade of having weapons and waving guns in the air like they're toys, and he's got millions
apparently
of people looking up to him. But geez, I don't know. I thought 25 was good, but the more you think about it, it's a second time. Maybe it's not enough, but surely this is his last chance. I mean, the next time he's out of the NBA. So,
yeah, I don't know. Apparently, after I saw this yesterday, there was this video that he released after of him with the gun, like the day after of him, and it was like a lighter or something. He was lighting like candles with a, I think it's, they were like matching him, his arm with his tattoos. They were like, is this him? It wasn't sure if it was him, but there was another thing that was released recently. So I don't know. I think, you know, again, he was he got told, don't do this again. And then he did it again. I don't know. It's like I work a lot with kids. And I remember when I was younger, and when you tell somebody don't do something, you know, you tell them don't do it. You tell somebody don't do this again, and then they do it again. It's not going to go over well. And for this to be any NBA player, he's an NBA, he's an adult. For him to do this again, and especially, I don't know, like these guys are all representing the NBA. For him to do it again, I would say give him 50 games. Like 50 games, yeah. And that would really suck for Memphis, but you don't do that after the commissioner, I said like the principal, goes and says, don't do this again. And they publicize this. Everybody knows it. And then he does it again. I just hope he doesn't do it again because he's an excellent player. He's a top player in the NBA. I love looking at the highlight reels and seeing Ja Morant with these dunks and these crazy shots. And he's such a fun player. So I hope he doesn't do it again because I want to keep watching him, and just for his peace of mind. Social media is a very my throat's getting dry. It's a very dangerous thing in terms of you don't know where the cameras are on you, and especially if you're famous. You know, if this was 20 years ago, it's different. You know, you cannot replay something. You could replay a conversation, but when you got video and it's posted, and somebody takes a screenshot, it can go over and over and over again. So you got to be careful. Today was also the Canadian Grand Prix, Formula One.
I think it's still going on.
No, it's actually over. And Max Verstappen of the Netherlands and Red Bull, he wins, it says, for the fourth straight time. That's a sport that I want to get into because it is so exciting. He wins at the end, and this guy thinks the biggest thing and one of the most exciting worldwide sports. But anyway, let's wrap up the show, eh?
That's, yeah, happy Father's Day. Go watch the golf, the US Open. Who's going to come from behind and take it? Who's going to do a Tommy Fleetwood? Because Tommy Fleetwood was having an amazing day. He may have to stick around. You never know. He's only, I think, 5 strokes back. But anyway.
It's really exciting. We may or may not keep a check. We may be back next Saturday. We may be taking a week off. So take a look. Keep your eye on it. Nonetheless.
I'm cheering for Windham. And just so you know, Jacob, Rory McIlroy, -1 through 1.
Okay, that's the last update I'm going to see. I'm going to be going to a quick workout. I don't want to see anything. We're definitely going to discuss that. We were going to discuss the NBA draft. We all know Wembanyama is a lock at #1 with the Spurs. Apparently, I heard on another podcast, Greg Popovich flew to France right away. Met with him, I think, and his family. I think that's true. Meanwhile, Michael Jordan selling his share in the Hornets. Michael Jordan was a winner on the court, but when he just struggled with Charlotte. What do you think about that move?
I think that they need more ownership and somebody to invest more money in Charlotte. They got a bit of a nucleus, but they need some help. And they could be a good team. They keep drafting low here, but they need Mr. Ball to be better, and they need a few good free agents. But Michael Jordan, see you, Michael.
Well, you know what? They've got some good players at number. They have a second pick in the draft. And no, they're not getting Wembanyama, but they'll either be getting Scoot Henderson or Brandon Miller. That, I think, is who will be going to the Charlotte Hornets. Also in basketball news, the last thing we'll leave you with, Lou Williams is officially calling it quits. You know what? He was a previous sixth man. He used to take the worst shots for the Raptors at the end of the quarter. The most predictable stuff I've ever seen.
He did, but he was a good three-pointer. He was a good, changer of momentum. Good career, Lou Williams. So congratulations to Lou. But I enjoyed watching him as a fan of the NBA.
Thanks for listening to In-House Sports with J&J. Happy Father's Day, and we'll see you soon.
Oh, by the way, Phil Mickelson missed the cut. He isn't playing this weekend.
Oh, thanks for ending with that. Phil, you did not contend at the US Open. Have a good one.